This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And I believe with all of my heart that it is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency of today. I 100% believe. Why I believe that is because I know how it feels when you sing it. I know the lost position that you get into in the beat.
I'm Oliver Gray, and this is A Sonic Youth, your weekly half-hour guide into the great expanse of modern indie and alt-rock, with classic albums, new releases, and unearthed gems. This week, Depressed Ponies, Uptown Folks, and part 2 of the Year in Review. Welcome to episode 170 of A Sonic Youth. This week, like last week, I wanted to mark the end of 2024 by playing some of my favourite tracks from the last year, which I didn't play or feature heavily on the show. Some songs might be from bands where I haven't thoroughly listened to their full catalogue. Others might be songs I played on earlier shows and not again since. This year, relative to last year, I've listened to quite a lot more alternative country and Americana, like Silver Jews and Bill Callahan, and a lot more shoegazy neo-psych. Last week I focused on that neo-psych. This week we're more Americana-focused. Opening the show was Silver Jews, with Sometimes a Pony Gets Depressed. I was aware of that song when Kurt Vile covered it during the encore the second time that I saw him, but that performance sparked a love for Silver Jews, and I've listened to them plenty this year. Silver Jews was formed in 1989, with David Berman at the helm throughout the band's life. The other two forming members were Stephen Malkmus and Bob Nastanovich, who recorded early Silver Jews tapes at the same time as they were forming Pavement. Berman and Malkmus, who would be in and out of Silver Jews, met at university and worked together as security guards, a apparently calling Code 2s at the same time and going to get high in Central Park. The first Silver Jews album was 1994's Starlight Walker, which was followed by The Natural Bridge 2 years later, and I think their best album, American Water, in 1998. The song that opened the show, Sometimes a Pony Gets Depressed, is from 2005's Tanglewood Numbers. There will be more on Silver Jews and David Berman's other work this year on A Sonic Youth, but for now we must move on to our next act. Centromatic, formed in Denton, Texas in 1995, as a side project for journeyman Americana artist Will Johnson. Johnson, who is currently a member of Jason Isbell's incredible band The 400 Unit, formed Centromatic around the time his first notable band, Funland, was disbanding. At first, it was just a name for his basic four-track recordings, and the release of his first cassette, Non-Directional Jetpack Race. The first record, Redo the Stack, was essentially a solo album, and it was 1997 when Centromatic became a full band, playing two live shows and then having a rehearsal. Centromatic released 10 albums before breaking up in 2014, and the members of the band have also released 3 records as South San Gabriel. Johnson has also recorded a beautiful album with Jason Molina, called Molina and Johnson, featuring one of my favourite album covers, as well as playing with the legendary Vic Chesnut in Undertow Orchestra. Other projects include Monsters of Folk, New Multitudes alongside Jay Farrar, and Overseas, as well as 9 solo studio LPs. Centromatic remains a hidden gem among the rocking alternative country bands of the 90s and the 2000s. Drive-By Trucker's Patterson Hood can be quoted as saying, "For about 15 years, Centromatic was my favourite band." I haven't listened to a whole lot of Centromatic outside of their 2003 album, Love You Just the Same. But that is a great album, and here's my favourite song from it. This is The Mighty Midshipman.
See me.
listening to the A Sonic Youth Year in Review, and that was Centromatic with the Mighty Midshipman. Next up is an artist who I've loved since about 2016, but have played more than ever in 2024. It's Israel Nash, and while all his stuff is great, there are two standout albums. 2011's Barn Doors and Concrete Floors, and its follow-up, 2013's Rain Plans, both of which would have to be in my top 10 favourite albums of all time. The former album is sunnier, brighter, and has a heavier country sound, whereas Rain Plans is more psyched out, described by one reviewer as the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young album that Neil Young should have produced but never did. It was an album which proved Nash to be a master of sonic textures. I listened to Barn Doors a lot more this year, but the best of those two records is Rain Plans. So here's a track from it. Not my favourite, but one I played a lot more in 2024. This is Through the Door.
Oh,
That was Through the Door from Israel Nash's Rainplans. Next up is a band I was familiar with, but really discovered in 2024, post-hardcore group Squirrel Bait. From Kentucky, and active from 1982 to 1987, Squirrel Bait remained a hidden gem in relation to their contemporaries Husker Du and Fugazi. They originally consisted of high school friends, and were first named Squirrel Bait Youth, and seemed to be attempting to parody parts of the hardcore scene. But by the time they started recording their early demos, and despite their amateurism, they were evidently hugely talented musicians. Their only proper album, Skag Heaven, was released in 87, but it's their self-titled 1985 EP that I've been playing all of last year. The first thing that stands out is the brilliant cover art, designed by who else but the late great Steve Albini. But the next thing you'll notice is how incredible these 8 short and sharp hardcore songs are. Like Husker Du, Squirrel Bait to me displayed grown-up hardcore, catchy songs that you'd want to listen to on repeat, with some slightly more gentle guitar tones. Another thing I think is important to consider when listening to Squirrel Bait is the impact they had on Dave Grohl. Bringing member Pete Searcy onto stage with him, Grohl explained how hearing the song I'm going to play next changed his life. Apparently Cobain was a fan too. I think you'll be able to hear the influence Squirrel Bait had on the likes of Nirvana and the Foo Fighters. Truly a band ahead of their time, here's Squirrel Bait with Sun God. That was Sun God from the awesome Squirrel Bait. Next up is an artist who I've played plenty of on the show, but his music was a constant companion to me throughout 2024, especially when studying. It's Angus Stone's group Dope Lemon. Angus Stone, who plays with his sister Julia and Angus and Julia Stone, has released 4 albums in his project Dope Lemon. The 2016 debut Honey Bones remains my favourite, and the record I played most from them in 2024. Dope Lemon, from Australia, actually just played in New Zealand. However, it was at a festival headlined by Ice Spice, and so I didn't go, though apparently she only played about 3 songs. Here's a favourite Dope Lemon song from Honeybones. This is Uptown Folks. We aren't really here until we found a way to die. Dope Lemon with Uptown Folks. To end off our two-part year in review, it has to be the breakout indie star of the year, MJ Lenderman. I knew of the band Wednesday, in which Lenderman plays guitar, for years, and had listened to some Lenderman before 2024, but it was the early singles released from his breakthrough album Manning Fireworks which really got me hooked in 2024. So to see us off, here's one of the Manning Fireworks tracks I've been playing the most over the last month. This is You Don't Know the Shape I'm In.
We sat under a half-mast McDonald's flag. Broken I'm
Thanks for listening to A Sonic Youth. For more episodes, visit freefm.org.nz or search A Sonic Youth on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and on the accessmedia.nz app. Also, follow me on Instagram and Facebook at A Sonic Youth Podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.